Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here. My name is Todd Core. I'm the student pastor, and it's a privilege to be sharing from God's Word with you this morning. We're going to be in the book of James, which is in the New Testament, near to the very end of the New Testament. We're going to be in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Now, the topic of today's study in wisdom for today has to do with wisdom with our words, or the sermon title today, as you'll come to understand what it means later, only you can prevent forest fires. And so we'll look at what that means here in just a little bit, but wisdom with words. If I had to take a survey, I would imagine that it would be 100% if I asked the question, how many of us have said something that we wished we could have immediately taken back? That may be the heartiest amen of the day, is that recognition and that admission, right? I remember when I was in high school, I was dating a young lady, and it was her dad was getting married for either the third or fourth time, and I had only met him once, and so I was extremely nervous, but we were going. She was obviously in the wedding, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but there was a moment where I was left in the room by myself with her dad, and I was freaking out. I mean, I've met him one time, it's his wedding day, and I'm just uttering things that I wish I could have taken back, and so I'm just trying to think, how do I make a good impression? What can we talk about in these few moments that we're left alone? And so I began noticing he's in his tux, and I noticed he had chosen, for me at least, a curious decision. Because I'd recently gone to prom, I knew that you had the choice between a vest with the tux or the cummerbund. And he went with the cummerbund, which is a very odd piece of clothing to me. It is almost like a deflated fanny pack, which is also a very odd piece of clothing or attire to me. And so I jumped in and said, hey, I see you went with the cummerbund. What's the deal with that? And he's kind of obviously nervous as well. It's his wedding day. He's left with his daughter's boyfriend that he's only met once as well. And so he kind of mutters around. And so I'm panicking because I'm like, this is not going well. And so things got worse because I then said, well, I guess you've done this enough times, you know what you like. We have all said things that we immediately wish we could take back. I looked this up. The average, the average one of us, the average human in a given day will say anywhere between 7,000 to 15,000 words every day. Oddly enough, as I was kind of looking into this, there was this, I guess, myth, if you will, that kind of popped up in the searching over how many words are said in an average day, and that was this idea that women say more words in a day than men. And this is something that many of us just take as fact, but apparently there have been two or three studies done to determine whether this is actually true. And the fact is that it is a statistically negligible amount of words different between how many words women would say in a day and how many a man would say in a day. It's something like 15,000 to 16,000, something like that, which statistically is non-factor. It's essentially the same. And so all of us are in the same boat. We're going to utter somewhere between 7 and 15,000 words today. And the question is, will we be wise with the words we choose to let come out of our mouth? Let me just make a couple of observations about the power of words. This is in your Life Point outline, which is in the bulletin you were handed on your way in. I think these are all things that we can agree upon. Let's look at the power of our words. Number one, the power of words spoken over us have shaped us for better or worse. Would you agree with that this morning? The words that have been spoken to and over and about us have shaped who we think we are, what we are capable of, etc., for better or for worse. There's been parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, loved ones, random strangers that have said things to us that have either pushed ourself and our self-worth and identity forward in a positive direction or have left us with some crippling self-doubt about who we are, we're capable of. Words are powerful. The second thing notice here is this. Our words give great insight to others about who we really are and what we really believe. Our words give great insight to others about who we really are and what we really believe. Have you ever been in a scenario in which you kind of were an acquaintance with someone and you had an idea of who they were, what they stood for, and then maybe you went on a trip or you spent a long time, together, and all of a sudden the words coming out of their mouth began to reveal some things about who they were and what they believe that you could not believe, or it was very different from your first impression. I think where we see this a lot now, and I want to mention this because we've got to be careful about this, where we see this a lot now is with the growth of social media. Not only is it our mouth and words that can get in trouble, it is our thumbs and words that can get us in trouble. We can learn a lot about someone by scrolling through their social media pages, can we not? We learn a lot about what they endorse by the articles that they share, the pictures that they have liked, the things that they have commented about. And all of a sudden, we get a window into who someone is and what they believe, whether it is good or bad. And here's the danger and the reality of living in 2019, is even something you wrote, post, or said, if it was recorded, decades ago, can come back and you have to answer for them. I'm reminded of the Milwaukee Brewers pitcher, Josh Hader. Some of you know who he is. Throws like 100 miles an hour. Just a beast of a reliever in the major leagues. Well, last season, I believe it was last season, early this season, some tweets that he had made or some social media posts that he had made when he was in late high school or early college came about that were not very favorable, that looked a lot like hate speech. And though he has aged, a decade, he still had to answer for those words because people began to wonder, is that who you really are? Is that what you really believe? So the power of words reveals a lot. Sometimes it betrays us and betrays who we are versus who we want people to think we are. Number three, the words we speak over others can carry greater impact than we may realize. If you followed kind of this progression, the first one of these truths about the power of words are things spoken over us or to us that shape us. The second one are things that we say that reveal a lot about who we are. And then number three is how our words impact others. Here's kind of how this works, right, wrong, or whatever. I think you'll agree with me. The more influence, power, or authority someone has, the greater the weight of their words. A mom or a dad saying something over a child carries extreme weight. A respected coach or teacher carries extreme weight. A person in authority, a boss at a workplace, isn't it different when they say something versus someone who's on the same career level or office level? We see this here in the church. You may or may not know this, as little inside baseball as they say, is when we as the church have an announcement that we really want you to hear, guess who says it? Not me. Pastor John. Because we have found that when he invites you to take part of something, you are more likely to take heed to his words because they carry more weight. And here's what we've got to take into account as we open up the book of James in just a second is this. No matter who you are in this room, you and I have power and influence and authority with various people. And we need to understand that our words may make a bigger impact than we even realize. So with those things kind of rattling around in our mind, let us go to James chapter 3. We're going to make some insights here. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of chapter 3. So just follow along, and then we'll make some observations. James says this, "Not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is able to control his whole body. Now, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide the whole animal. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though, the tongue is a small part of the body. It boasts great things. Consider how large a forest a small fire ignites. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. For every creature, animal or bird, reptile or fish, is tamed and has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water." Now, I know that was a long text to read, but there is some incredible wisdom found in these verses. So let's jump right in. Here in your outline, the scripture insights. Number one, a tamed tongue is a sign of spiritual maturity. A tamed tongue is a sign of spiritual maturity. In the first couple of verses, this entire passage is largely set in the context of not encouraging people to flippantly become teachers of the word, because there will be a stricter judgment. But then he says this. Look there in verse 2. "For we stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature or complete man who is able to control his whole body." Essentially, what James is saying is, if you are able to, on the whole, contain and tame the words that are coming out of your mouth, that is a sign of maturity. This is an amazing thing, which the converse would also be true. Someone who cannot control what they say is showing markers of spiritual immaturity. The person who cannot help gossiping when that juicy piece of gossip comes their way is betraying the fact that they are spiritually immature and out of control. The person who can't own up to truth but would rather paper over with lies in order to not be found out or to look good or to keep up a persona is actually showing markers of spiritual immaturity. The person who is speaking derogatory about men or women or a specific race or people group is indicating their lack of spiritual maturity. Now, does that mean that we are perfect? In fact, James would say that no man can tame the tongue. We'll look at that in a second. But on the whole, are we wise with our words? That's the question. wisdom with words shows our spiritual maturity. I think about it this way. When I was in seminary, a professor who was working with college students was talking about the markers of spiritual maturity and growth and encouraging people and not tearing them down and nitpicking every little thing that they do wrong. And he gave this example that there was a young man who he was mentoring and discipling who, when he first came to faith in Christ, had just a potty mouth. I mean, just could not. He knew all the four-letter words and how to use them, right? And so it had been maybe a year of him discipling and looking into the Word, praying together, spending time together. And they were riding in the car. And the professor's name is Max, and Max was in the passenger seat, so this student was driving. And all of a sudden, somebody pulled out in front of them. They are swerving all over the road. And in the course of the chaos, the young man let fly a word that would not be appropriate in this moment. And I will never forget what Max said, because the young man, after everything had kind of settled down and there was not an accident, they're riding, and the young man just sheepishly, just like, I cannot believe I just said that in front of my spiritual mentor. Max kind of breaks the ice and said, you know what? That's the first time I've heard you cuss in like 6 to 8 months. You have come a long way. What Max was saying is you have shown incredible growth and spiritual maturity over the last 6 to 8 months. Don't let this one slip define you, but also know you're on the right path. Spiritual maturity. How is your mouth? How does your mouth and your words indicate to others your spiritual maturity? Number two, a tamed tongue gives us the ability to lead. A tamed tongue gives us the ability to lead. There in the passage, James gives two sort of neutral to positive examples or analogies. He says, look, when you put a bit into a horse's mouth, you are able to steer the horse whichever way you want to go. Then he says also a large ship is turned, even though it's facing fierce winds and waves, the entire thing can be turned by the pilot who's able to control such a small thing as the rudder in compared to the large vessel. He says the pilot can lead it wherever he wants it to go. Then he jumps in and says, the tongue. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think what James, by the Lord's inspiration, is giving us this morning is this. When we can tame and control the words that are coming out of our mouth, when we use wisdom with the words coming out of our mouth, we give confidence to not only lead others, but also ourselves. I'm amazed. We have many young ladies and mostly young ladies, there may be a couple young men that in our youth group that are riding horses and training with horses. And when I look at some of them, you know, 6th, 7th graders, and there's some older, there's one down here, right here, Miss Carrie. But some of these young ladies, they are so small. And yet they can climb up on these giant beasts. And as long as they've got a bit in its mouth and the reins in their hand, they tell that horse where to go, not the other way around. Do you see, is this true in your life, as I've seen it in mine, that when my tongue is out of control and saying things with biting sarcasm or boasting things that are the pride of life and all these things, that doors close? That opportunities change. Where do you want your life to go? Often our words are the things that open doors or close doors. Think about like a job interview. It's pretty important what you say in a job interview. What about in the dating relationships? Some of you remember back, you've been married a long, long time, and you remember and you just thank God every day you're not out there in the dating scene, right? There are certain things you can say on a date that ensures you will not have another date, right, ladies? There are certain things like, nope. Where do you want your life to lead? Let's even fast forward into the marriage relationship. How do you want to lead in your marriage? What direction do you want the ship of your marriage to go? How often do our words put holes in that ship or damage the direction that we want to go in intimacy and in love for one another and in serving the Lord? Our tongue gives us the ability to lead, or other things will lead us, right? Number three, an untamed tongue can bring devastating results. An untamed tongue can bring devastating results. I remember growing up as a kid of the 80s and 90s, and maybe these are still around, but the just amazing classic public service announcement mascots. You remember some of these, like Louis the Lightning Bug that reminded us not to touch an electrical wire that is downed, or maybe Crime Dog McGruff that gave us safety about stranger danger. One of my favorites, and many of you have known, he's been around since the 40s, is Smokey the Bear. Only you can prevent forest fires. That has been his slogan for a long time. It was recently updated to only you can prevent wildfires. In the passage, James gives an illustration of what an untamed tongue can also bring, which is total destruction. He said, think about the large forest that can be consumed and burned up by such a small spark. I think we have a brief video clip of just a wildfire. I want us to just have a visual if they want to play that. We'll see if that happens. There it is. A small spark can create incredible devastation. I was looking up just some weird and unusual ways that fires have started, some of these huge wildfires. One of which, this is somewhat debated, but there was a lady that served time specifically because she admitted that she had burned a love letter in a state park in Colorado, and it ignited one of the largest and most costly fires in Colorado history, killing many, burning up homes and acreage of this national park, and causing millions of dollars in damage. There was another occasion where an incredibly large wildfire was started by a couple of guys out doing target practice, shooting steel targets, and a spark in a dry climate without any rain, a spark after hitting the target bounced off into the brush and caused incredible devastation of a wildfire. One of the most famous fires, at least to me, is the Great Chicago Fire of the 1800s. And though they are not 100% how it started, many believe that it was started when a cow kicked over a lantern in the barn, and it burned the city. Over 100,000 people were homeless. Over 300 people were killed, all from a small spark. Fire is an unusual entity, if you will, in that it is one of the few, I can't think of others, that multiplies on its own. If I poured a glass of water onto this stage, more water, we are not going to all of a sudden be concerned about a tsunami having been multiplied out of my pouring a cup of water on the stage. But if I took one match and dropped it on this stage, it would multiply and multiply and multiply. The same can be said of our tongue. The words that we use so flippantly, somewhere between 7 and 15,000 words every day, you and I have the ability to totally scorch the earth of someone's life. When we pass on gossip, when we lie, when we just dress down someone verbally because they're in our employ or they're under our authority, or our children, we can scorch their earth. Only you and I can prevent those types of forest fires. Number four, this is so interesting. Our tongue is a freak of nature. That's what James is saying. Our tongue is a freak of nature. He says, out of our mouths come blessing to God our Father, and at the same opening come curses over those who were made in God's image. He says, look in nature. This is astounding. He said, is there a spring of water that out of the same mouth you could get one cup of bitter water and then the next cup be sweet water? No. He says, you can go to a tree, and if it's a fig tree, you expect to find figs. You're not going to go to a fig tree and find olives. He says, our tongues are freakish in that they can do one thing in one moment and something totally counter to that the next moment. You and I sang earlier in this service, how great is our God. And possibly this morning or this afternoon or yesterday, someone cut you off in traffic and you said a few things about them and they were made in God's image and the two things don't go together. You had an argument with your spouse or with a child or with a grandchild, with a coworker, someone at Walmart, and all of a sudden, we have let our tongue become a freak of nature, doing two different things out of the same opening. And James says, brothers, this should not be. This should not be. He says, no man can tame the tongue. I heard a preacher say this, so I'm going on the fact that this is probably 50% true. But he said that, and it wasn't Brother John. It was not Brother John. Don't worry about it. Everybody looked at him. It was not Brother John. You got to choose those words more wisely in the next two services. But a preacher said that the tongue is basically eight muscles together. And it is also a freak of nature in that these are the only muscles in our body that never get tired. That is freakish. But it also puts us at great danger that we don't even need to rest the tongue. It is always willing and able to be active and say things. In fact, James ends right there. This is so confounding to me. When I was reading this week and beginning study, I was kind of like, all right, James, you have set up quite the conundrum. Our tongue is a deadly poison. It can start a forest fire in somebody's life. Man, and then you go and you're like, no one can tame the tongue. Brothers, this should not be. Next topic. It's like, whoa, okay, what do we do? Any advice on this, James? And I think he left us hanging there with this idea that the tongue cannot be tamed by man, to make us dwell on the fact that if it can't be tamed by man, who can it be tamed by? And I believe that's the Lord. And so as we close our time together, I want to give us a few mouth guards. You've seen these hanging out of athletes' mouths. This may surprise some of you, but I was not what you would call a star athlete. And so this was actually the first mouth guard that I purchased yesterday, right? And I was amazed at how many options for mouth guards there were. It was actually quite intimidating trying to find one. But the beauty of the mouth guard is it does two things. Is it protects the mouth, and while it's in your mouth, you can't say anything. Right? So let me give you a couple of mouth guards from Scripture so that as we seek to walk and be wise with our words, that we want to show spiritual maturity. Look, James says our mouths are wild. Our mouths cannot be tamed. It is like a feral animal in a cage that you cannot let out. He says we've tamed every other kind of animal, but the tongue is its own freak of nature. It cannot be tamed by man. And so what must we do? Mouth guards. Here we go, real quickly. Number one, we need to ask God to help us be slow to speak and quick to hear. This is actually found in James 1:19. He kind of sowed this in early and then brought up the problem of the tongue a little bit later. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. So what I would encourage you as a mouth guard, you and I probably have a pretty good understanding of trigger situations and trigger people. And when we encounter people that automatically get our blood boiling, put the mouth guard in. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. When we are in a situation of high stress or high emotion, slow to speak, quick to hear. Pop that mouth guard in. I don't know about you, but there are certain moments when I can just tell I am in a, I can feel it, the tongue, the feral animal in my mouth wants to come out and scorch some people. And I have a pretty good idea of who trigger people and trigger situations are. And when you go into them or when you find yourself in one, pop the mouth guard in, slow to speak, quick to hear. And what that does is this, it gives us an opportunity to hear what's really going on in this situation. Why are they really upset? Why are they saying these things to me? Why are they belittling? Like, what is going on here? Help me, Lord, to see beyond the words. Help me not to lash out and make this thing 10 times worse. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Number two, ask God to help you forgive those who have hurt you with words. This really comes from the idea that many of us have experienced and seen as just a truth in life. Hurt people hurt people. Have you seen that to be true? We have to be careful that we don't always put that on other people. Sometimes when we have been hurt with words, we are quick to hurt with words. And so if there is someone who has spoken over you or to you about you words that have shaken your core, shaken what you believe you can do or who you are, you need to ask God to help you forgive and heal those hurts so that your tongue will not lash out and hurt others. If you had a dad that belittled you verbally, be careful that you are not replicating verbally to your children or grandchildren. We need to ask God to help us forgive and heal from those who hurt us with words so that we do not pass on that hurt with words also. Number three, ask God to change the content of your heart. I don't have time to go into it in depth, but Matthew 12, Jesus is talking. He says, look, here's the reality. What's coming out of your mouth is just an overflow of what is in your heart. I believe this to be the true key to this idea of taming the tongue. Is what is in our heart is what will ultimately come out. When we make disparaging comments, that's coming from somewhere in our heart. We need to ask God, would you transform my heart? Would you change? Would you root out the sinful prejudices, ideas, words, thoughts that then spew out of my mouth? Lord, if I'm struggling with my spouse, Lord, remove the contents of my heart that would seek to undermine them because they were made in your image. And Lord, replace it with content that says, I love them. I love them. I support them. I'll serve them. Does that make sense? In our heart, it's always a heart issue. Number four, ask God to give you wisdom in your words. We have 7,000 to 15,000 words that we will speak today, and we need wisdom in how we will use them. There's a popular song in Christian circles from years back by a guy named Toby Mac, formerly of DC Talk, and it was actually called Speak Life. I love that phrase, Speak Life. It is the idea that you and I have the ability with these 7,000 to 15,000 words to use them in a way that would pour life or speak life into other people. Speak life. At the end of every day of our middle school camp, we do a thing where we gather up as a church group and we do a thing called shout-outs. And this is really just a place where we ask students, did you see anybody in our group do anything worthy of being acknowledged and honored? And just a shout-out, something to speak life into someone else. And so you'll have anything from, I saw so-and-so, they held the door open for 8,000 people as they went into worship, or so-and-so picked up all the trays at lunch and took them away, or sometimes you get inadvertent confessions, like thank so-and-so for sharing his Cheetos, and that's the moment that that individual found out that he had shared his Cheetos with those guys. But it's this idea of how do we speak life into one another. And so that's really where I want to leave us this morning is this. There's a challenge. It's the last blank. This is not going to be answered on the screen because it can only come from you. And it says this. This week, I will intentionally use my words to speak life into, and you fill in that blank. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's someone that you felt like you have wronged with words, and you say, you know what, I've got to go make that right. I've got to speak life into them. Maybe it's someone who is far from God, and you want to speak life into them by sharing the gospel or encouraging them. Because remember this, all the way back at the beginning, our words reveal who we really are and what we really believe to other people. And James has indicated that the greatest use that we could use for our tongue is to praise our Lord and Savior and not to bring down those that were made in His image. And when we are known with unwise words that do not speak life but rather speak death and scorch a fire in someone's heart, then we have betrayed the very one who made us and our tongue. So as you go this week, speak life and remember, final PSA, only you can prevent forest fires. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word and how it can be just so blunt and to the point. Father, there's represented in this room hundreds of thousands of words that will be spoken today and this week. Lord, I pray that we would speak life into people. Lord, give us wisdom with our words. Father, help us to grow in spiritual maturity so that our mouths may praise you and not hurt those who are made in your image. Lord, where we need to repent this week, I pray we would repent, and may we praise you with these tongues. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.